This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, church leaders, this is the Leadership Momentum Podcast, and I am in studio today, and I'm with Rachel Cruz. Rachel, thank you so much for joining.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. This is great.
Today, folks, we're going to be introducing a Max Licato feature that you're going to absolutely love. And let me tell you a little bit about our conversation. We're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to talk about contentment, goal setting, comparison, fear and anxiety, handling rejection, and so much more. I know that you guys don't deal with that kind of stuff. It's probably just Rachel and I, but
I don't. I don't know what you're talking about, Chris.
But this is the kind of stuff I deal with, guys. But listen, Rachel's in here. Rachel's going to be helping me out today. And of course, her and her dad, Dave Ramsey, have known Max Licato for quite some time. And I wanted to make sure I brought her in. If you don't know Rachel Cruz, she is a New York Times bestselling author. And she is Dave's daughter. And she's a speaker here at Ramsey Solutions. And I get to work right beside her. And so I thought it might be good for us to have some conversation. Now, we're here. We're in November. We survived the big October. You were traveling like crazy. I was too.
It was nuts.
What did October have you doing? You're all over the place?
Sure. Well, I just had a baby in April. Uh-huh. And so little Amelia is around. So I cut back my travel this fall, yeah, specifically knowing that I was going to have her as a little baby. And so
Amelia is absolutely gorgeous, by the way.
It is amazing. Truth. We only speak truth on here, right? And it is true. She's the cutest baby you've ever seen. So it happened to be all my travel dates landed in October. Yeah. I mean, most of them, I have one in November, but all of them were in October. So it was a hard month, yeah, but it was fun because I really do enjoy what I'm doing. When I'm traveling somewhere, I really am getting to do what I love. So that is a bonus. It's not like I'm going to a dreadful like meeting in another city of a job I hate. Like that would be, you know, that would be very, very difficult. So thankfully I am in a place in life where I get to do what I love, yeah, and I'm so, so blessed with that. So it was a crazy October, but yeah, really fun.
I know a lot of our, you know, church leaders that are listening in too, they know October is a crazy month for them too. I mean, it's just, it's like conference month. There's a conference like every other day.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of like the second new year, right? I mean, January, everyone starts the resolutions, but kids go back to school in August, September, October. It's like these few months in the fall, yeah, kind of ramp up, and then things kind of, you know, get to the holiday season coming up. So it's this ebb and flow. And I feel like, yeah, fall is here and it's kicking for sure.
Well, let me bring up the elephant that possibly is in the room. My guess is that as church leaders, you're wondering, what's it like to be Dave Ramsey's daughter?
Oh gosh, that elephant. I was like, oh no. What is it?
Elephant? That always scares everybody, right?
Right, right. Yes. So what was it like growing up as Dave Ramsey's daughter? Well, I'm asked that a lot. And I'll be honest, I'm okay with it being asked.
Yeah.
I've taken ownership of it and said, yeah, this is going to be part of my life. It's part of my story. And I'm 100% okay with it. But yeah, I think a lot of people assume growing up as Dave Ramsey's kid that we had like budget parties and mutual fund retreats and like all this kind of stuff. And thankfully that was not the case. Mom and dad were actually fairly normal parents for the most part. But they were intentional teaching us about money, of course. And so for that, I'm eternally grateful. I mean, so, so thankful that I got to start off my life on the right foot, especially financially speaking, with the knowledge and the tools of biblically-based financial principles. Yeah. And for that, I'm so thankful, which has led me into what I do now in life. So, but yeah, growing up, you know, he was like any other dad. You know, we have Max Licato on, and his daughter and I have become friends in Nashville. We had lunch and stuff. And so talking to her even, you know, I was like, your dad's Max Licato. You know, and so you think it's this other world if you have a parent who's well-known, but it's not to you. Yeah. It's dad who wasn't letting me, you know, go to the movie I wanted to go to when I was in middle school, you know, or whatever, yeah, it was. Yep. It's just your dad.
Now you speak to churches all over the country. You're in churches all the time. What's some encouragement that you have? You've seen, you know, church leaders in action. You've seen,
absolutely,
them serving people. What's some encouragement you have for them?
Gosh, I would just say I think that people get a bad rap. I think Christianity gets a bad rap sometimes, and sometimes church leaders do. And I just want to say, like, you're doing a great job. And whether it's the small church or the mega church, I mean, these people I interact with, sure, there's a poor apple in the bunch every now and then. But for the most part, gosh, these people, you guys just love the Lord. And it just comes out. And yeah, so having someone from the outside that's coming in and the interactions I have with church leaders, you know, on the weekends and whatnot, I mean, they're just generous, kind. serve so well. Yeah. And so that's my encouragement to you all, is that you're doing a great job. Yeah. And you can feel God's presence. You can feel that you're doing what God has called you to do. And it's refreshing for someone like me to interact with you.
Yeah. I've had the same experience as well, as I've traveled around and gotten to visit many of your churches. You guys are doing an amazing job. And that's the reason why we feel very privileged and honored to be able to bring you this podcast. Again, it's a digital roundtable where we bring some of the most respected names in the church world to just talk about some of the things that you want to talk about, and you want to get their insight and their perspective. And so that's what that's about. And today, the featured conversation is with Pastor Max Lucado. Now, a couple things about him that maybe you don't know, but he is the lead pastor in Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, and he's been on staff there since 1988, which is extremely rare. But did you also know that his teachings and writings, they're in more than 54 languages? Unbelievable. He's sold 120 million individual products. 92 million of them, Rachel, are books.
That's it? 92 million. I mean, that's crazy.
Ridiculous. He's always on the national bestsellers list. He's actually been dubbed America's pastor by Reader's Digest and named one of the most influential leaders in social media. Now, Max's first book, it was called On the Anvil, was published in 1985. I was 8.
I don't even want to say how old I was. I was not even thought of. That shows my age.
She wasn't even here, folks. Oh, my goodness. And his 32nd book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now, just launched in September, offering insight into living a full-throttle life. With God's help, you can close the gap between the person you are and the person that you want to be. Isn't that where we all are? So, without further ado, this is the featured conversation with the Max Lucado.
Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Glad you're here.
Thank you. It's a great honor.
You have written a new book called The Glory Days. This is like your second book or third, right? Folks, this is his 32nd book. I'm 38 years old. He's written 32 books in just his 40 years. It's amazing. But
I'm not 40 yet. Sorry.
Sorry, I overshot it a little bit. But this book is about living your promised land life now. It's based on the story of Joshua in the Old Testament. It is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. I really respect you in so many ways in ministry. The whole idea of this podcast is to be a digital roundtable with the most respected names in the church space to help all church leaders of all sizes, all denominations, all geographic regions. Really, I want to ask the questions that I think the majority of the church world is asking. And so one of them is going to be prayer. We're going to talk about prayer and ministry. What does that look like? And I don't think the answers aren't as obvious as we think. And then contentment in ministry. What does that look like? And get into comparison a little bit. And then we're going to talk a little bit about glory days for a little while, because there's so many things in there that are rich for not only for the church leaders, but leaders, listen, for your congregation. You got to make sure they know about this book. So that's kind of where we're headed. Let's start off with prayer and ministry. What should prayer look like in a church? So it's elders. What should it look like with elders? What should it look like with lead pastors? What should it look like with staff, volunteers? You've got some churches that are like singing kumbaya and like they're praying constantly but not doing anything. You've got some that don't ever address it. Whatever's the line?
Well, we know prayer matters, of course, because of what Jesus said. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Mm-hmm. That's the most profound statement, I think, about prayer.
Yeah.
When Jesus cleansed the temple, it troubled him that the very place to which people were going for worship had become a place of profiteering, in which they were being taken advantage of. And he said, no, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I wish he'd have said, my house shall be called a house of preaching, because I love to preach.
And you're good at it.
Our worship minister wants it to be a house of singing. Bible professor wants it to be a house of Bible exposition.
Yeah.
But right at the core of everything we do, God wants his place to be a place of prayer. And prayer is that encounter between the Father and the children. And so I believe our goal as pastors and as church leaders is to facilitate that encounter and to teach our churches, teach our followers, teach our flocks to engage with God in prayer whenever we can, and however we can. And so practically speaking,
yeah.
I think what this means is that we need to create opportunities in our worship assemblies mm-hmm. for people to spend ample time in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. This can be a challenge because all of us are on the clock, or many of us are on the clock. I shouldn't yeah. say all of us, but many of us are on the clock. And yet I think that this time in which people have to interact with God mm-hmm. is so important
yeah.
that we must make that a priority. And people don't take this time during the week. We need to assume that people who come into our auditoriums have not been praying.
Yeah.
So take a few minutes every service. I'm thinking 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And put some soft music on and say, okay, this is your time to respond to what God is saying to you. Mm. That might be after the sermon.
Yeah.
It might be after a communion moment. It might be early on in the service. Let's prepare our hearts.
Yeah.
But what we're doing in doing this is we're training the church to create these moments in their day-to-day lives. And if they look around and they see a room full of people being quiet in the presence of God, not, you know, trying to sense God's presence, thanking God, giving God their concerns, then they realize they're a part of something really special. So I think this time of prayer in every assembly is indispensable.
Mm. I love your answer because you hit on some of the challenges, the real challenges that we face as church leaders. Everyone's busy, on the clock, that kind of thing. And you talked about, you know, you gave us a little bit of a tip for improvement of making sure you put that into the service. And I'm sure we could do that in our staff meetings.
Absolutely.
We should just do that in the hallway.
Yeah.
Your ministry team could do that when in your meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think through the who's listening right now. And there's some churches that are listening right now that they primarily reach lost people. They reach people that are dramatically far from God, like generationally far from God. And the idea of having a part in the service where there's a little minute or two for prayer,
I might strike them as...
I've talked to some of these guys at conferences, and I know they're rebutting right now. Like, how does that look like when you're reaching generational lost people? Surely there's a way you can do this where it's not spooky and weird, right?
Remember, I'm 60 years old, yeah. contrary to what you said. And I've been at this for 3 decades. And
yeah.
so I've gone from the seeker-sensitive, seeker-driven. I know all the phrases.
Yes.
I've been to all the seminars. If I had that pastor in the room, I would say, listen, don't assume that this person way out on the fringe who's there with no belief system at all, mm-hmm. don't make a decision for them
yeah.
that they don't want an opportunity to be quiet in front of the presence of someone somewhere. They may not even know to whom they're talking.
Yep.
Grant them that opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it weird. You don't have to, you know, do anything that would make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the whole world is in a rat race right now.
Yep.
And for you to create a moment, even in a seeker-driven service, for seekers to be quiet,
wow.
let them inhale, let them, you know, just rest for a minute, I think that's a real gift that you could give.
I love it. You heard it straight from Pastor Max. There it was.
I'll go toe-to-toe with you on this one.
I love it. Well, let's shift over and just talk a little bit about contentment, because surely we don't struggle with that. We don't struggle with contentment as church leaders. Where is the line between contentment in ministry and lack of ambition?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even apathy. Where's the line? Because you want to be content. We hear that all the time. But there's some folks that need a little kick in the pants. Where's
Certainly.
The line between contentment and lack of ambition?
Yeah, I think the key is understanding your unique assignment mm-hmm. in ministry. What is it that you bring to the kingdom table that is unique to you? What's your unique makeup?
Yeah.
Again, I've been at this a while, and so my contemporaries are people like Bill Hybels and John Maxwell and Rick Warren.
Mm-hmm.
These are friends for whom I have the highest respect and have known for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have often compared myself to them and found myself frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, I don't know if anybody who has a greater leadership giftedness than Bill Hybels.
Right.
I don't know of anybody who has his finger on the pulse of how to help pastors better than Rick Warren.
Yep.
I don't think anybody equips leaders like John Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
And through the years, I've thought, oh, I need to be more like John Maxwell.
Yeah.
Or I need to be more like Bill. Or I need to be more like Rick. And it was a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
When I discovered, why don't I just be like Max?
Mm.
Why don't I be the best Max that I can be? And back away and say, you know what? God has different people doing different things. And my church is not going to you know, the church where I serve doesn't have to look like every church. We can all learn from each other, but we don't have to be exactly alike. Here, that to me is the solution to this comparison thing.
Yep.
As long as you compare yourself with other pastors, you're either going to feel smug or insecure, neither of which is helpful.
Yep.
Just be the best you can be.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, when you're comparing yourself against yourself, let's say that you want your attendance to be a little bit higher, you want your giving to be a little higher, maybe it's your group involvement. What other metrics are there? Volunteering.
Yeah.
And you just, by September or by October or by March, we wished we would be here and we're not. How do you, how do you balance all that inner turmoil?
I've wrestled with that. I have. You know, do you set attendance goals? Do you set giving goals? Mm-hmm. And I know some people who feel really motivated by that. Maybe it's just a personal preference. I think what we can do is seek to control the things we can control. Mm-hmm. And that is to have the best quality worship experience, that our facility would be easily accessible, very visitor-friendly, that we would do our very best to have the messages prepared and the songs well-presented. These are things we really can control.
Yeah.
They really are. And there is a way to do some type of metric evaluation with people, kind of a 360-degree evaluation team in which we're, you know, seeking to meet this standard and seeing if we truly achieve that. And we've gone that direction in our church. Now, there are some people who would say, no, you need to set attendance goals. And you know, that's all right. That's just kind of a personal thing. I think if I do the work and I set out to do my very best, that I'm just going to leave the fruit of that up to God. Because the truth of the matter is, not every church is supposed to be a huge church.
Yeah.
I served at a church in Brazil for 5 years. Our biggest Sunday ever was maybe 160 on a big neighbor day after 5 years of work. And yet I feel like and now I serve in a church that's about 10,000. But I feel like the ministry of that church that got up to 160 after 5 years was every bit as essential for what God was doing in that neighborhood in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, as what he's doing in San Antonio. So I'm a little hesitant when it comes to comparing in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Because we're all different.
Yeah, And that, that inner turmoil is real.
It's very real.
I feel like you're not adequate, or feeling like you're even feeling that it's either pride or it's poverty. It's
exactly, like, exactly. And so I would just tell pastors, you know, what's your unique assignment? What are you best at? I serve on our staff with Randy Frazee. He's our co-pastor. He and I have really different gift mix.
Okay.
He's a great strategist. He likes to bring people around the table. I, on the other hand, I like to kind of retreat and get alone on my desk with an open book and study.
Yeah.
We're very different. But for 7.5 years, God has used us in different ways, I think, to really help the church.
Yeah. Well, folks, I wanted to make sure that Pastor got in here and into the studio to talk about things that I'm hearing from you. What does prayer look like in ministry? What does contentment look like? This whole comparison thing. Of course, I know that's not just like recently. It's been around forever, the comparison thing. But I also wanted to make sure you knew about this tremendous resource, Glory Days by Max Lucado. It just came out, and you want to make sure you grab a copy for you, and make sure you grab a copy for your congregation. Make sure they're aware of it. And here's why. You guys are incredible men, incredible women of God. A lot of you are living in fear, or you're living in worry. Some of you are just going through the motions. You know it. You're plateaued. You're wondering, what do I do next? Some of you had a few staff people leave. Maybe a congregation, a family left, and you're feeling rejected. Some of you have some unhealthy mindsets. You know it. You preach about it. You preach about not having unhealthy mindsets, and a lot of you deal with doubt. You're up there, you're teaching, you're talking about things, and you, in your heart, because you have flesh on, you're a person, you are finite, you have doubt yourself. And some of you, you've recently made some mistakes, some pretty big ones. And that's why I want to talk about this book, because this book speaks to each one of you, wherever you're at. And so that's why I wanted you to know about it. And I'm going to ask Pastor Max a few questions that I think you might want to hear the answer. The first question I want to ask is, Pastor, what would you say to that leader that's out there who is neck deep in worry? What would you tell him?
I would say you're not alone. You're not alone, that all of us go through times of anxiety. In fact, I think the Bible was written for people like us. Uh-huh. That's why the phrase fear not is so common in Scripture. Mm-hmm. It's why the Bible has so much to say about anxiety. In this particular book, I really capitalized on the story of Joshua, who could be listed among the, he might make the Mount Rushmore of biblical leaders. Mm-hmm. Because he led the children of Israel into a time of great economic and spiritual prosperity. They had 7 years in which they were undefeated. Mm-hmm. And what a leader he was. But to do that, he had to bring the people out of the wilderness. He had to come out of the wilderness himself. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact of the matter is the children of Israel could have entered the promised land 40 years earlier, but because of their fear, they did not. Mm-hmm. So Joshua was surrounded by fear. Even his colleagues, maybe mentors, mm-hmm. were men who chose fear over faith. So he had to make a decision. Okay, I'm not going to heed my fear, but I'm going to follow God in faith. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
That's why I love the story of Joshua. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea of struggling with fear is so prevalent in our world today that the Joshua story can really bring courage.
Yeah.
Remember what God said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage.
Yep, yep. You know?
And so that's what he did.
What's wild is so many of us have preached on that passage, and we just need to receive it for ourselves. A lot of times we're reading the scriptures for based on what we can relay to others, and we need to absorb it. And that's why I love this, because for many of our listeners, there's only a few authors, there's only a few voices that carries so much weight in their research. They carry so much weight in the way they put together a sentence or they put together a paragraph. And that's why I'm excited that please don't stop writing. Keep writing. It's such a great resource for all of us. Yeah. So maybe there's a leader who, maybe they're not as far as worry, but they're in the middle of a plateau. They're,
yeah.
they're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. I can relate. You know, again, I'm still a pastor. I've been at the same church for 28 years. Mm-hmm. I can remember 1 year in particular. I want to say maybe 4 years into my experience with the church there in San Antonio. And we just, I don't know. I felt like our elder board and I were just not lined up.
Okay.
And I just remember making the conscious decision of, well, we'll just kind of be flat this year. You know, I'm just going to kind of preach and coast. I was really down. I was discouraged. And I really remember, you know, that was a very real feeling of mine. I just felt like I was just kind of coast. And you look back over the history of our church, and there was only 1 year in which our church did not grow. And it was that year. Mm. You know, because the church reflected my emotion,
yeah.
my mentality. But you know what? I think that happens to all of us. We get tired.
Yeah.
It's a hard work that we've taken. Apostle Paul calls it a work. You'll be faithful to the work of the gospel.
Yeah.
So it is a work. But one of the great things is learning how to call yourself out of the wilderness, mm-hmm. come out of the wilderness and get back into the promised land. The two big ideas in Joshua, number one, God told Joshua, receive the land I'm giving to you. He didn't tell him to conquer the land, but to receive the land. Mm-hmm. So Joshua fought from victory. Not for victory. I think we in church leaders need to know God will bless this work.
Wow.
He's told us that his word will not come back void. Mm-hmm. He's told us that he will bless the work of our hands. Mm. So we know there will be fruit if we do not give up. There will be a harvest. Wow. Okay. That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's going to work. Now, it may not work as quickly or in the way that we want it to.
Yeah.
So let's just trust that. But let's trust there will be a harvest. And so then, big idea number two, God told Joshua, I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. I'm with you always. And I would love to tell every pastor in the world, God's with you.
Yeah.
He's with you. And he's the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. We're all under shepherds. He's on your side. He's going to walk you through this. And Joshua believed that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God made special appearances to Joshua to encourage him. And he comes to us as well.
Yeah.
And God is the one who fights for us. So we can hold on to those two big principles, mm-hmm. and then press forward. And I think just those two ideas, if we meditate on them and believe them, will help us to come out of the wilderness.
I love how you put it in your book. You say, don't forget to remember. And man, we as church leaders need to know that.
We do, don't we?
We need a reminder to not forget not to forget.
So. In the book of Joshua, they stack the 12 stones after they cross the Jordan River, right? So they can remember what God did. Here's a practical thing for churches. It's harder for us to do this now at the size of our church. For many years, we would have what we would call a dream Sunday. Not so much to dream about the future, but in which we stopped and thanked God for the dreams that had come true. Mm-hmm. And we would make a big celebration out of that day. We didn't stack stones, but we could have. I think that's an important thing for a pastor to do. Mm-hmm. Every so often, stop with your church and look back and say, look at all the great things that have happened.
Yeah.
Everybody who has become a Christian, if the size of the church allows, bring them up to the front. Mm-hmm. Celebrate all the gifts that have been given, all the classes that have started, all the initiatives, all the people that have been fed. Mm-hmm. Make a list of it.
Yeah.
Don't be like the nine lepers who didn't come back and say thank you.
Yeah.
You be the one leper who did. Mm-hmm. And there's something about being grateful that for the past, it gives you courage to face the future.
Mm-hmm. That lead from victory, not for victory. Uh-huh. If you were to write the top of your whiteboard, church leader, I'm talking directly to you. If you were to write that on top of your whiteboard in your next meeting, how would that change the tone of whatever you're talking about? That's just one glimpse into one of the things that that you can grasp from this book. Now, Pastor Max, you've never felt rejection before, I'm sure, right? You've never had a church member leave, or your staff. Oh, you have the same staff that you've always had, I'm sure.
We've had every kind of personnel issue. We've had every kind of conflict. We've had people leave because.
But you're Pastor Max Licato. Who leaves?
I wonder if I can tell this story and not get in trouble for it. We had a groundbreaking one time at our church, and I'm not going to tell you how recently. Maybe I won't get caught. But we had a groundbreaking service, and it was the most exciting. This particular event was on a weekend, and we had a groundbreaking service, and we were outdoors. We'd celebrated the shovel thing, turning the dirt, building a new part of our facility. I was so pumped up. Everybody was so pumped up. Everybody had made their commitments. We were all so excited. I came down off the platform, and a lady was standing there, and I had never met her. And she said, I want to tell you, this is the most unfriendly church I've ever been to.
Oh my goodness.
I've been here 3 Sundays in a row, and nobody has greeted me. I'm never coming back. You talk about deflating a balloon.
Oh, no.
I remember thinking, why did she have to tell me that? Why do people do that? Things like that happen in church life.
Yeah,
they just
yeah.
do. Nobody escapes that.
Yeah.
That's just part of church life. And yet, you know what? At the end of the day, all you can do is come back and say, okay, was I faithful to God's word?
Yeah.
Am I doing my very best? Am I praying? Am I trusting? And never going to have a church where everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. But if you can have a church that loves people and that cares for people and is a safe place for people to hear the gospel, then you've done all you can do.
Mm. That's good. Now, so there's, let's just say that you had made a mistake, like somewhere in your journey that you've made a mistake sometime. And there's a pastor out there that possibly, folks, we know we don't make mistakes, but let's just say that we did. This book, Glory Days, how does it speak specifically to a church leader or a person in the congregation who just made a big mistake?
Joshua was not mistake free. Mm-hmm. There's some wonderful stories or interesting stories of, Joshua, and I know our time is limited, so I'm going to really not get into them, but where they got hoodwinked, where they weren't paying attention, they got deceived, and they ended up with some people in their camp who were not of the Hebrew ancestry, and they had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. It was a big mistake. The Gibeonites came in, and so they had to deal with it. They weren't paying attention. But Joshua responded to that by returning to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. So the next big event after that big mistake was when Joshua asked God to stop the sun so that he could defeat these 5 kings who were coming after him.
Yeah.
So there's a great principle there. We all make mistakes. We all forget to pray when we should pray. We don't consult God when we should. When we learn that, what we do is we just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give up, though. Mm-hmm. We're all under construction. If we're fighting from victory, not for victory, we know victory is ours. We just keep pressing forward, and we move on. Mm. Learn from our mistakes, and no failure is fatal. No failure is fatal.
That is so good. What a good reminder. My prayer is that you, the church leader, right now you feel ministered to. I know that I do right here in studio, and thanks for coming down to Music City. We really, really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's my honor. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, what a fantastic conversation that was. There's just something about a guy who's been there, a guy who's been in the trenches for that long and who's been that successful in ministry, or such a weight to what he says.
You know? Gosh. Yeah. And you know those people when they talk, it's just like wisdom is seeping out of every word. Do you know what I mean? Yes. I'm like, I just heard the audio, but it's just like, oh my gosh, you just, every word he says, I'm like, yes, yeah. Yes, like so, so wise.
Yeah, what are some of the things that stood out?
Gosh, he had a ton of great stuff. One thing that I'm just personally kind of digging into myself and what I do is just this whole topic of comparison and how true it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And hearing him, again, I'm not a church leader, and so hearing that church leaders even struggle with that, for me, a commoner, yeah, if you will, I was like, okay, it's kind of refreshing. Like, okay, good. Like you know, you guys are with like me too. Yeah. So even if someone's listening that's not in church leadership, you know, it's kind of refreshing to hear, and about, I guess that's kind of bad, but refreshing to hear that everyone struggles with it, because it's a real thing.
Yep.
I mean, it is a real thing, whether you're out and you're a mom with kids, or you're a pastor or a church leader over church. Like, it's crazy how real it is. And even, you know, on Sundays, my Instagram blows up from church services, you know, different people I follow and stuff, and you see all this and all the incredible work they're doing, but I can see how much it can be hard to not compare your church with the other person.
And this has been a common thread over the last 7 or 8 episodes. There's been at least some time within the last, you know, 7 or 8 interviews where we've talked about this thing in comparison. It's a big deal.
It is, because I think it's evil at its core.
Yeah.
Because I think Andy Stanley said, no one wins in the game of comparison. Mm-mm. Either come out feeling, you know, low about yourself, or you come out feeling high and prideful. You know, no one wins. And I think that it's just a hard battle that we seem to keep fighting, all of us. And sadly, no one wins.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Well, folks, we really hope that you enjoyed this episode with Max Licato. Just to give you a little bit of glimpse into the next episode that will be airing in the first week of December, we're going to have Pastor Pete Wilson on here from Nashville. He's at Cross Point Church in Nashville. He's actually my pastor. And
great guy.
Yeah.
Can I intersect that? Is that okay to say? You said Pete Wilson. I was like, oh.
He is awesome. Amazing. Yes. Big fan. And he's really ministered to me and my family. And I had the idea. I reached out to him and his buddy, Judd Wilhite, and my friend out there in Vegas. And I want to have the conversation about Bible Belt versus non-Bible Belt.
Oh, that's good. I would listen to that. Yeah. I'm not in church leadership. I want to know.
Folks, I've been at conferences all over the country. You've been engaged in conversations all the time. And there's all this conversation, which one's more difficult? And you've got the pros and the cons, and they both deal with different kind of issues. They both deal with different obstacles. They both deal with different kind of fears and anxieties. And we're going to dive into that. And they're buddies.
And Judd's so great too. Yeah,
I'm kind of hoping that they tease each other a little bit. I think we'll have a little fun with it. So it'll be good.
So fun.
I was thinking about having an executive pastor question. Each episode, we would have a question where we'd ask an executive level leader, you know, a question about the second chair, a question about how to lead up, a question about how to hold up the arms of the lead pastor or the lead minister. And so tweet me at Chris Brown on Air is my handle. Just tweet me with the hashtag LM Podcast. That's as in leadership momentum, the hashtag LM Podcast, and tell me why they would be perfect for this. So I'm going to be asking one question in addition to our feature conversation, where we highlight the role of an executive leader. So that'll be coming up as well in the December episode. And one more thing as we kind of close out this episode is I want to let you know about our radio show that is available for your congregation and for you as well. But we have Chris Brown's True Stewardship that is available in 20 different markets around the country. And in addition to that, it is a podcast on iTunes. And so make sure you check that out. You can check out all the details about that radio show where we talk about life. We talk about money, what it looks like to steward this life for God's glory. And that all can be found at stewardship.com. It's a call-in show. It's 30 minutes a day, Monday through Friday, and it's a great resource for you and for your congregation. Well, Rachel, it's been fun.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for joining in. Folks, if you want to check out what Rachel Cruz has been doing, she's been up to a ton of stuff. You can find her out. She actually gets her name on social media. She's at Rachel Cruz. That's C-R-U-Z-E.
So special, right?
I know. I'm like Chris Brown on air 79639er. So anyway, that's she awesome. Gets at Rachel Cruz. She has rachelcruz.com. She's spoiled when it comes to URLs.
Hey, Facebook, it's Rachel Ramsey Cruz. Because the other Rachel Cruz,
she's just stole being it. Difficult. Yeah, I've got this rapper that's in the way, and he just, I'm telling you.
Chris, I've known you for so long now that I forget your name is Chris Brown. Like, when I first met you, of course, the rapper was always in my mind, and I completely forgot it. That makes me laugh. I forgot about Chris Brown, the rapper.
Well, we're getting a little bit out of control here. We will see you guys next episode, and until next time on the Leadership Momentum Podcast.